Hello, I am Teresa, a lover of all things birth, and this is a space to come together and hear the most beautiful love stories surrounding birth. A birth story is as healing to tell as it is encouraging to hear. Come along with me to hear empowering birth journeys full of strength, vulnerability, love, and maybe a little meconium. This is Birth Addict. Welcome back, Birth Addicts. Today we have Elise on to share her birth story, and I want you to stick around until the end because she has so much good advice for postpartum. Elise had a beautiful birth, but unfortunately had complications postpartum, and she has so much good information for you guys. Thank you, Elise, so much for coming on Birth Addict to tell your birth story today. Can you start by introducing yourself and your family?
Sure. My name is Elise Miller. My husband, Logan, and I had our first son, Solomon, last September, September 23rd. So he's almost 7 months old.
Let's get right into finding out you're pregnant.
Yeah. So I remember it was January 13th of last year. It's funny how like the dates stick in your brain. Normally dates don't for me, but I remember all the dates for my pregnancy and everything. But it was January 13th and we very much wanted this baby, but we hadn't been trying for very long at all. So I was not expecting it. And I literally just woke up that morning. My period was not necessarily due that day. And I woke up and just like, I had an urge to like take a pregnancy test. And I just had this thought, like, it's going to be positive. Like it just is going to be positive. So we don't have this grand story of like me being surprised and like surprising my husband. Like it was sort of matter of fact, because I was like, yeah, I like knew it was going to be positive. So yeah, woke up, took a test. My husband was like, the line looks like faint. And I tried to tell him like any line is a positive, but he still wanted to go across the street to Rite Aid to buy a digital test, which was also positive. So
did you tell people right away?
We waited until like, I'd say 8 or 9 weeks to tell most of our close family and friends, but I did have a couple of close friends that I just could not, like I couldn't see them and not tell them. And I mean, of course it was so fun telling our parents, but we did want to wait till we got through like at least a few weeks of the first trimester because we knew they would like share in our excitement more so than a lot of other people. But I do have one girlfriend I was so excited to tell. We were getting our nails done and I was wanting to tell her the whole time, but not in front of other people. So I drop her off at her house after our appointment. And then I text her and I'm like, I forgot something at your house. Because I was just like, I need to tell, even though I was only 5 weeks pregnant. So I knock on her door and I'm just like, I'm pregnant. And she cried. Like we fully embraced. She cried. It was super fun. So yeah. And she assumed I was pretty far along. And I was like, oh, I just found out like 8 days ago. I just can't keep it from you.
That is so sweet. Did you know where you wanted to receive your care?
That's a funny question because my whole like late teen and early adult years, I had a lot of friends who worked as doulas and I know a lot of people in the, like, I guess you could say like birth space. But I was so focused on getting pregnant that I didn't want to think that far ahead. I was like nervous it would like cause me pain. So when I found out I was pregnant, I was like, okay, I guess it's time to like call up my old pals and figure out what to do. And one of my closest friends who is a doula, I texted her and I was like, I don't like my OB, but I don't know if I want to do a home birth. Like who have you worked with who's good around here? And she's like, there's one OB that's like, he's basically a midwife. She's like, I know you might not want to see a male OB, but he's like a midwife in pants. Like you just need to go see him. And I did want to consider that because I have an interesting health history and I was a little scared. So yeah, I went and did a consultation with this OB and he works with a team of midwives. Basically, like we clicked right away and he was super duper. Like he was like, yeah, I'm all about physiologic birth. Like, but that means I wouldn't be there. So like, I'll do your care. And if you're low risk, you'll deliver with the midwives. And I just super believe that that's better for you. And then if you need like surgery, that's when I'll come. And I was like, this is great.
Yeah. That's so incredible.
Yeah. They work in a hospital that has midwifery suites. And so I kind of saw an OB and a team of midwives and loved them all.
That is so cool.
And I remembered my doula telling stories of this particular OB, like letting husbands catch the baby or like just doing all kinds of like letting moms push whatever position they want, even if he has to like hold her up. He's just like not, he's evidence-based is what he is.
We love that.
Yeah.
Perfect. Did you end up hiring a doula for your birth?
I did hire a doula, and I did not do that until like I was 20 weeks, and I don't know why I put it off for so long, but I don't think it was really till I was like halfway through my pregnancy that it A, like hit me that I'd have to give birth, mm-hmm. and B, where I really committed to wanting an unmedicated birth. Like I think that I thought like, oh, I don't know if I can do it. Mm-hmm. And the longer my pregnancy went on, I was like, of course I can do it. But knowing what I know, I feel like I know through my friends, like a lot about what can happen in some hospital settings. Mm-hmm. So I just sort of around the 20 week mark was like, my best shot at getting the birth that I want is if I have a doula. And you'll find out later in my story and the education I continue to have, like my doula was essential. Like I could like tear up, think about her, and we're still friends. We're still in touch. So yeah, it made a big difference.
How are you feeling during that first trimester?
I was very sick. Maybe that's why, like, I kind of dragged my feet on, like, thinking about the birth process because I was just trying to not throw up. Mm-hmm. I never got diagnosed with HG because, like, I was still, like, functional, but I use that term lightly because it was kind of a blur. I threw up every day at random times, like, in public places. I actually had a pretty tough pregnancy, like, no, like, diagnosable conditions, but like I did not have a streak of a good time. It was just like kind of pukey the whole way through.
Oh man, that does sound rough. Let's get into the second trimester. How are you feeling then? And did you have the anatomy scan and find out the sex mm-hmm. of the baby?
Yeah, we found out he was a boy. I did one of those sneak peek tests, which I know like they can come back wrong. But I also just had this like gut feeling that he was a boy. Like the day that I took my pregnancy test, I felt like he was a boy.
Whoa.
So again, I was not particularly surprised. And we did like a little like reveal for our family and friends, but that was more for like their sake, trying to make it fun. But yeah, I found out the gender really early on. And then the anatomy scan was pretty special because that was the only scan my husband could join me for because of the COVID rules. So yeah, that's a whole other thing, like making it through your first trimester, going to those scans like by yourself.
Yeah.
And the 20 week was fun. It's just like nice to see like a big baby that has all their organs,
yeah.
all their whole skeleton. It is fun. And my husband was a lot better than I was at like seeing the humanness like on the scan. Sometimes I'd be like, what am I looking at? And he was like, that's our baby. Like that's his whole body. And so that was the first time they kind of connected.
That's so cute. Well, then let's get into the third trimester. How was the third trimester for you?
The third trimester was, I feel like in hindsight, I describe it as awesome, but at the time, like I was in a lot of pain and I remember shedding a lot of tears of like, I just want to be done. Mm-hmm. And that's a really hard place to be in as a first-time mom because I was expecting to go to like 42 weeks. Mm-hmm. So the fact that I was really struggling by 36 weeks was intimidating. And just like it mentally wears you down a lot. But looking back, I'm like, oh my gosh, that was awesome because that was when I had most of my like nitty gritty appointments with my doula and my midwife where we can like start to visualize what my birth is going to look like, what we want the space and the environment to look like. You have like crampy contracting feelings. So it starts to feel real. Okay. And yeah, I feel like there were just, I had a couple of minor things. Like there were a couple times I didn't feel a ton of fetal movement. There was a time I got food poisoning. So like I was in labor and delivery triage a lot my third trimester. So it just felt very real. Mm-hmm. And so knowing my son now, like looking back on that time of like my final weeks without him, it's like a really cool time to know, like, I'm going to give birth soon. And now that I know that I love birth, I'm like, oh my gosh, what I would give to go relive a few of those weeks, the anticipation.
Oh, the anticipation. Yep, exactly. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you had some plans for your birth. What were mm-hmm. those plans?
My plan was to have an unmedicated physiologic birth without interventions. And I knew that by giving birth in like a hybrid setting, I'm in a hospital. There may be like some compromises, I guess you could put it, just depending on like the providers who are there when you get there. Even though I knew that I'd have one of my midwives, you just don't know like what OB is going to be on call or which nurses are going to be present. So I put together a birth plan for everybody to read, which I'm sure not everybody loved. But yeah, I really wanted to have like freedom of movement. I did want to be like continuously monitored. I didn't want anything like on my body. I wanted to labor in the tub, which I did end up doing. And I wanted to labor at home as long as possible, which I ended up not needing to do because I had fast labor. But yeah, at this point, like, I don't remember a ton of specifics, but the bottom line is I wanted my husband and doula to be heavily involved and relied on, like, by the medical staff. And I wanted freedom to move around and kind of call the shots.
Yes.
And that was important to me.
Oh, I love it. Okay, well then let's get into those last like final days and maybe going into labor.
The final days of my pregnancy were a bit of a wild ride because I was a bridesmaid when I was 39 weeks pregnant.
Girl.
And I did. I waddled down the aisle and I did it. And I stood up there. Well, I sat up there in a chair and I watched one of my best friends get married. But I was at that point, like, I was sick. I couldn't put food down. I felt just huge. I was swollen, crying, emotional, hormonal. And it's funny looking back, I still was telling myself, oh, you're 3 weeks away from having this baby. Mm-hmm. But I really had like a handful of days. And so now I know if I have more kids, like my body and my mind knew what was coming that mm-hmm. whole weekend. And I was sort of in denial. Mm-hmm. And so the days after that, I just remember like, I had these big like emotional purges. Like I would just cry a lot and didn't really know why, and pace around my house. And now I know like my body knew I was about to go into labor. I was anxiously pacing and I didn't know why and like bouncing on my ball, texting my doula constantly about things and my midwife calling constantly like, oh my gosh, I had this little cramp. And everyone was telling me like, you know, you'll know when it's labor, you need to rest. Nobody thought I was going into labor before 40 weeks. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, that's a lie. One of my midwives had a hunch. But anyways, I remember, so he was born on the 23rd. And on the 22nd, my husband and I went to a mall by us that's air conditioned to walk laps, like around the mall, just enjoy the air conditioning. And like 30 minutes into that experience, I was in so much pain. I have pictures and videos I took for my Instagram stories of us sitting like on a bench in the middle of the mall. And I'm like joking on my Instagram stories, like, I can't keep walking. This baby's halfway out of me. Ha ha ha. But still in denial because I didn't know what labor felt like. I did not know that my pain was early labor. I had no idea.
Yeah.
And I got home that night, went to the bathroom. My mucus plug came all, like all of it out. And I texted my doula. I'm like, I think I just lost it. I called my midwives and I'm like, I lost my mucus plug. And they're like, go to bed. It's 10 o'clock. Get some sleep. And I did not sleep that night. I was up. I did sleep well when I was asleep, but when I would wake up constantly and I just had this like anxious / excited pit in my stomach. And I'd feel what felt like period cramps, looking like they were worse than period cramps. But at the time I was trying to tell myself they weren't anything because I thought this, I could be in like prodromal labor for a while. Like, mm-hmm. don't hype this up. And so I would just like go in the other room and sit on my ball in the middle of the night. And my husband would be like, what are you doing? And I'm like, what does it look like? I am in early labor. I think maybe, I don't know, like in denial. I woke up the next morning on the 23rd and had no pain, like no issues at all. Except for the fact that like I was a little bit leaky. And so of course, being almost 40 weeks pregnant, I was like, who knows if it's sweat or if I peed my pants. Sorry if that's TMI for your listeners, but whatever.
It's not.
And I was like, it could be my water, but like, why would it be my water? I can't go into labor yet. It's too early. It totally was my water. But I called that morning my midwives again. I was like, I'm leaking something. But I don't have any contractions. What would you like me to do? And they were like, well, the midwifery suites are still like full. because we're going to have to discharge patients today. So if you were to come and get checked right now, if your water broke, you're going to get admitted. The that's just hospital rule. You're going to get admitted. Mm-hmm. And kind of like on the sly, my midwives who were protecting my birth plan were like, if your water's broken and the hospital has to admit you because of that, and you're not having contractions, they're going to want to administer Pitocin. Mm-hmm. So my midwife was like, I will keep this on the down low, stay home, just stay home. And like, just call me back when something happens, maybe in like 5 hours. And she told me later, which I thought this was cute. She was the one that had a hunch, the one I was on the phone with, that I would go into labor early and have a fast labor. So she called the hospital and was like, Elise's having a baby today. Like, let's get a room ready.
Wow.
So she like figured she would see me within a few hours, which is such like a cool gut feeling that she had.
Yeah.
I hung out at home. My husband was at work and, I wish I had documented it better, or because it is a little bit hard to remember, like, when did things start? Mm-hmm. But I was pacing around my house all day and noticing that I actually ran an errand to Target, and I'm also pacing around Target. And I noticed in retrospect, but not in the moment, that about every 10 minutes I would like catch my breath and like lean against a wall. Like, and I realized a couple days later, I was having contractions that were like 10 to 15 minutes apart, and just because I had music in, or I was like doing the dishes, was not paying attention because they weren't that painful yet.
Yeah.
And I had to like go back and look at my text conversation with my husband and my doula from that day, because what ended up happening was around like 3 p.m. I texted them both and was like, I'm suddenly in a lot of pain. Like, this is not fun. All of a sudden, this, like, it went from, oh, I'm not really feeling anything, to like, I'm in a lot of pain and I need you both to come here now. Mm. My husband came home from work. And by the time he got home from work, I was laying on the floor in our shower, having contractions that were like 2 minutes apart. So he's calling my doula and he's like, you need to get here fast. Like, her contractions are literally 2 minutes apart, which no one was expecting it to go that fast.
Yeah.
And so I'm on the phone with my doula and I'm like, I think you and I just need to meet at the hospital. Like, I am already unable to handle this pain. And she was like, oh, please, like, let me come over and observe a few contractions. She wanted me to be, if it wasn't like active labor, she was going to want me to be comfortable and be at home, which I fully understand.
Right.
So she comes over and she hops in my shower with me. She's rubbing my shoulders, like essential oils, like speaking positive mantras over me. And after she does, she moves me then to the, the like dilation station where people will sit on the toilet facing the other way.
Oh yeah.
She sits me there for like 5 minutes, rubbing my back. I'm laying on a pillow and she looks at my husband and I after being at our house for maybe 15 minutes. And she goes, I think we can go to the hospital right now.
Yeah.
Very calmly was like, I think we can head out. And what I think is so funny about this ordeal is that I was supposed to have my 39-week appointment that day.
Oh.
And I was trying to get out the door to go to that. I didn't think that I was in labor. I wanted to go get checked. I wanted to go see my midwife. I wanted her to tell me if my water broke. I wanted to like maybe let them do a cervical check at that particular appointment. And my doula and my midwife on the phone are like, we can tell, like, you're in active labor. Like, why are you trying to go to this appointment? You need to labor at home and then go to the hospital. I just think it's funny looking back, because if I was a second or third time mom, now I would know like, mm-hmm. what's up. But at that time I was like, no. Like, I just need to go have a normal day. Like, this is going to go on forever.
Yeah.
So by now we're like at like maybe 6 p.m. And so my doula got there like a little, my husband got to work around 3. I think active labor started right around 3. Mm-hmm. Around 6, we got in the car to head to the hospital. Around 6 p.m. ish, we get to the hospital because we don't live far. And I remember feeling like shocked and realizing this is actually happening when, so my midwife who I spoke to on the phone that day was the midwife on call. So I was expecting her to be the one delivering my baby of the five of them that particular day. And I get to the hospital and the door to labor and delivery swings open and it's one of my other midwives and she's in her like office clothes. So I have this thought of like, oh my gosh, everybody thinks I'm having a baby today because they sent a different midwife to come be with me because there were so many women in labor that day, so they needed some extra hands on deck. So I had this realization, like, Cam came from the office where she's supposed to be having appointments, prenatal appointments today, to the hospital. So they must believe that I'm in labor, even though I haven't been checked yet. Triage was tough because my contractions, like, I unfortunately don't ever remember experiencing contractions that felt manageable, like, at all. I feel like it just kicked off with, like, me being on the verge of transition, which was very overwhelming. Mm-hmm. So it was hard for me to kind of, like, live out a lot of my goals for labor, such as, like, you know, my hip, like, listening to my hypnobirthing tracks, like, swaying and dancing around my room and, like, hanging out with my husband and relaxing and, like, sipping water and bone broth. Like, none of that. It was like, go, 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 go. I had, like, 20 second breaks between my contractions, if that. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't, yeah, no, almost no breaks. And they were, like, very concentrated in my hips. So it made it very hard to stand and walk. It was a lot. Mm-hmm. And my husband and my doula say that, like, the car ride, I was whispering to them, which who knows why I was whispering, but I was like, I think I'm going to get the epidural. Like, I think I'm going to get it. But they were like, you're coping so well, you can do this. So triage is a little bit of a blur because I was in, like, a really intense amount of pain. I remember, like, hanging over the top of the hospital bed because I couldn't lay on my back. There was no way. Mm-hmm. So I'm on all fours with, like, my head leaning over the front of the bed. Mm-hmm. And everyone's just trying to keep me comfortable while my midwife confirms that my water had broken. She was like, you are leaking amniotic fluid, but your four bag of water is still intact. Mm-hmm. And I was 100% effaced, already dilated to a 5. So I was, like, solid at that point hearing that. Like, I think I can do this.
Yeah.
And our deal with my midwives and my doula was, I was okay with cervical checks, but I wanted it to be an encouragement and not, like, a discouragement. So I kind of was not, I didn't have them check me too often, but if I needed a little bit of encouragement and I wanted to know if I had dilated or if I was 100% effaced, the information did end up really helping me. Okay. Which was kind of, when I was pregnant, I thought, you know, maybe I'll want to know if I'm effaced or if I'm dilated instead of declining all of those. So yeah, I felt encouraged to know I was dilating, I was 100% effaced, baby had dropped, he was fully engaged. In fact, everyone in the room was like, his head is bulging out of your sacrum, like, he's very engaged. So I was like, this is a lot of pain. Like, I'm not experiencing a pain-free birth, but I can do this. Like, yeah. We're close. We're halfway there.
Yeah.
And I already did it. So yeah, we very, very quickly get me into my room and into the hot water. Like, I was like, fill that tub up, get me in there. I'm like, I got to the hospital so fast and they were expecting me to be so far progressed. So, like, they're trying to get the water filled up as fast as they can. And everyone's like, we're so sorry that this isn't quite ready for you. So my doula is trying to do everything to keep me comfortable. And I was like, literally get me in that water now, because I couldn't think of anything else that would help. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I think you had a similar experience, but, like, being in the warm water is just, like, it's mind blowing how much it helps with the pain.
Yeah.
I got in the water and my contractions were still so close together. I was getting, I think, like, 15 second breaks between them, maybe. Like, they were very, very close together. And I think a couple hours went by where I just remember, like, focusing on, like, the warm water kind of, like, ebbing and flowing around me. Mm-hmm. And I would look at the clock every now and then to see what's going on. The pain was a lot. So I remember just, like, hanging onto the sides being like, this water is really helping my hip pain and my back pain. And as long as I'm here, I can manage this. Like, mm-hmm. I can do this, even though this doesn't feel great, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just remember feeling encouraged knowing, like, this water is really helping. I also had access to nitrous oxide in my room. So when I would get, like, a particularly bad set of contractions, I'd have a little bit of that. Everyone told me afterwards that, I must've been really relaxed in the water, cause I would fall asleep for, like, 10 or 15 seconds at a time to get rest.
Wow.
Which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I don't remember any of that. My doula said I was getting sleep between contractions, and she at one point like French braided my hair to get my sweaty hair out of my face.
That's awesome.
And I don't remember it at all.
You were deep into labor land.
I was deep into labor land. My husband said when we would make eye contact, he was like, you were like not in the room. Like your eye, like I could tell by looking in your eyes that you were in outer space, which could not be more true. Mm. But I do have a couple like really specific moments that I remember during labor. And one of them was, I remember the midwifery suite has like queen size beds, cool. Hospital beds, but they're queen size. So, which is great.
Yeah.
And, I had wanted to like try being in the shower on a yoga ball. So we moved me in there. It was not helpful. It made things worse. So my midwife and my doula and the RN that I had, who was awesome. She's in midwifery school. So she like knew what to do.
Yes.
They helped me like hobble back to the bed and like, they're trying to get me comfortable. And I remember sitting like cross-legged and like rocking back and forth, like just trying to like keep a grip on what was going on. And my midwife, my husband and my doula are all sitting on the bed looking at me. Like we're all like in a circle, like cross-legged. And my midwife, I can like see out of the corner of my eye that she's smiling, like she's like beaming. And that I was just like, okay, like if someone who like does this every day, all day is like proud of me right now, like I think I can do this.
Yeah.
And people were pretty hands off with me. And I asked afterwards, like, why? And they were like, because you were doing it. Like you were doing it on your own. And I'm really thankful that they did that. But my midwife did say to me at this point when we're sitting cross-legged on the bed that I don't remember the exact wording of the mantra, but she knew that I had a lot of mantras that I was trying to like speak over my late pregnancy and my birth. And she was like, Elise, there's thousands of women doing this with you right now. Like women all over the world are doing this with you right now. And I feel like I'm tearing up just remembering that because it just is heartwarming and magical to be like, you know, all the things.
Yeah.
We've always done this as like a human race. Like I am doing this right now. I can do this. There's so many people doing this. We're in it together.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It felt like joining a very special club.
Yeah. That's what was in my mind when you were saying that. I'm like, it's like a cool club. Like you're part of it.
Yes. Yes. So I was getting amped, even though, you know, there were lots of times throughout this, I mean, it was only 3 hours, but there were times that the pain would just like make me feel like I was unraveling a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I would still have these thoughts of like, I should just get an epidural. And I don't have like a moral opposition to an epidural. Our plan and what was part of my birth plan with my midwives was like an epidural is a tool that can be like a really great and really helpful tool, mm-hmm. but it's not the first thing that we wanted to pull out of the tool chest.
Yeah.
So the deal we made was if I have a prolonged labor where the experts in the room feel that I'm suffering, like if I'm like suffering from the pain, then like, let's go ahead and do one. But, the fact that I would be like, I think I want a little pain relief. And they would be like, hey, are you sure? Because you're like managing, like, we're really proud of you. I'm really grateful that they like would say those things to me because they ended up helping me accomplish my goal. So yeah, I start to get amped again. Once I like get a grab, like I can do this. Like the tub's helping. Like I'm managing. I haven't died yet. We can do this. I asked my midwife to do another check and she was like, you are like 7.5 centimeters and only about 2 hours had gone by. So I was like, sweet.
Nice.
She was like, your forebag of water is still intact. Would you like me to break it? That would be an intervention. So it's up to you. And I was like, my gut says, let's just leave it because I have a feeling that it's going to get more painful if we break it. So let's just leave it there. She's like, it's keeping the baby from like descending, but it could be more painful. Mm-hmm. So we leave it. And then, I enter into transition, which is obviously a blur. I mean, that's kind of like what transition is.
Yep.
Like, who knows which way is up? I'm like shaking. I'm feeling sick. I'm scared. And everyone is getting happier because they're like, you know, the classic, the doulas and midwives, if you like throw up and are like, oh my gosh, I feel sick. They're like, you're almost done.
Yeah.
So, that blew by really fast. I was like I was at this point laying on my side in a bed. I didn't think I wanted to push on my side, but I, at this point, was like, I don't think I can move. So I'd rather just like stay put. Cause like I said, the pain was in my hips pretty bad. So it's really hard to figure out how to position myself. And so I'm on my side and I don't even think I got another cervical check. I honestly can't remember, but what ended up happening was about an hour later, in a very dramatic, like Hollywood fashion, my bag of water, like exploded. Like just, I heard the loud pop, the gush. It felt like a gallon of water was pouring out of me.
Wow.
And I was screaming like, what is that? Even though I knew it was my water.
Yeah.
Didn't remember anything. And my midwife, she told me that I was like 9.5 centimeters. She did check. I remember now. She's like, you're 9.5 centimeters. And she had to step out of the room for a quick minute. And I was 9.5 centimeters, so I knew she wasn't going to be gone long, but like from here, things happened, I think, faster than anyone expected. So my doula and my RN are like, do you want to do any like practice pushing? Like, will you have some energy? Like, well, we're here to like help you and like, you know, answer any questions you might have. And I was looking at them like, how am I supposed to know how to push? Like, tell me how to push. What, like, I don't know how to push. Somebody help me. And, literally like 2 minutes later, I was like, I have to poop, get Melissa in here now. Like, I knew like the pressure is very much as low as it can go. Like it's time.
Yeah.
And when I say that I said that, I mean that I screamed that. I was like, get, like, she needs to come in here right now. So she comes running back in and I think I pushed for a couple contractions. I think that was it. And he came like flying out. The only thing that did not go according to my birth plan, as far as like the labor part, was my husband was going to catch the baby, and my midwife runs in and she's like, Logan, get down here, put gloves on. It's time to catch. Like, I can see baby's head. And I was like, nobody move. He's coming out right now. And I was like, I just remember screaming like a wild animal. And then it's done. It's done. And there's like a baby in your arms. And it's crazy.
That sounds so quick at the end.
Yeah, it was, I was at the hospital for a couple of hours before he was in my arms.
That is so crazy. So what was that moment like then, feeling your baby in your arms?
I wish that I have like more specific memories, but I think I was so overwhelmed with like good and, I don't want to say like bad feelings, but I was just very overwhelmed because my pushing phase, when I reflect on it, I'm overall really happy with how my labor and delivery went, but the pushing phase felt so fast. I didn't have a precipitous birth, but the pushing phase felt so fast that I felt like I was a step behind what was happening with my body. Mm-hmm. It felt like my mind was still trying to catch up.
Yeah.
So, I of course remember being like, he's like so beautiful. I can't remember seeing his face. Like, I can't believe I'm holding him, but I still felt a little out of the moment and like, just, yeah, like trying to be present was not the easiest in that moment. I'm holding my son for the first time. Obviously I've just given birth. It's 11:04 PM. And, I like noticed that my midwife is still like furiously working. And at this point they did make me aware that I had a second degree tear. Mm-hmm. Which didn't surprise me because I felt like my pushing, I felt a little out of control. I really wanted to do like controlled pushing, breathing the baby out. It was hard as a first time mom. I have to cut myself some slack.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so, I knew she would have to repair that, but I didn't know like when you normally repair a tear. So I didn't think it was odd that she was like very busily working, even though like I'm holding my newborn baby. And suddenly there are like 10 nurses in my room, which was maybe a little bit overdramatic. Like, I know that the hospitals have protocols. It's whatever. But my midwife says to me, she goes, Elise, you're bleeding a little bit more than I would like you to. So I'm just going to be working on that. I think, and what I probably should have mentioned first is that, my placenta just like wasn't really budging. And it's a tough thing for me to like talk about and reflect on a little bit, because found out later that it was about 30 minutes it took to deliver my placenta. But my midwife did have to switch from expectant management to active management. And I do think I found out later that the hospital wants to see it out in about 30 minutes. I've never had a home birth. I know some people that have worked in home births, and 30 minutes is like, I got some second opinion. Some people said like 30 minutes is not a concern. Mm-hmm. Some midwives have said that's still too long, hospital or home birth, that's too long. Probably just depends on the provider and what the patient ultimately wants. But they had to get my placenta out. So my midwife was like trying to massage my abdomen and encouraging me to push. She was like, I know you need to rest, but we need to try to push this out. It came out all in one piece, which was great and looked really healthy. But for whatever reason, I just started hemorrhaging pretty significantly. And what was really tricky for my poor, sweet midwife was that I was hemorrhaging out of both my uterus was bleeding heavily, and then also I was bleeding out of where I tore. So I don't know, as a medical practitioner, how you stabilize like a hemorrhage necessarily. I do know now that in retrospect, the one intervention that I didn't decline was I let them put like a saline lock in to my arm. And just cause I was like, I guess I don't see the big deal. Like go ahead with the IV and tape it so that like, I don't really notice it. Mm-hmm. And that was great, cause it made for quick access for like an IV with fluids.
Yeah.
It got a little bit dramatic and like, unfortunately for like, I'll just have to carry some of those like just memories and maybe a little bit of trauma, because they did have to move me out of my comfy like midwifery room into a room where, you know, it's a traditional hospital setting. I'm now, my feet, I just gave birth. I'm exhausted. I'm naked. I'm bleeding. And my feet are in stirrups. I have all the fluorescent lights. I have all the nurses. I have all the IVs. I have all the people tending to me, taking my vitals. My midwife did not want to move me there, but she just felt like she couldn't get a stable of a read on my blood pressure in my like comfy room where I was not sitting in a position where you can have nurses access you. So I got moved over there. Still bleeding a ton. So at that point, I got all of the medications that I had to find. I got the Pitocin. I got the Cytotec. I got the all the things. Uh-huh. And I was like, you know what? It's okay. My baby's already out. This is like maybe a good use of a hybrid hospital midwifery setting right now.
Yeah.
So what ended up happening was like there's like nurses trying to put pressure on my uterus. And my midwife is like stitching me up. The OB on call comes in and starts stitching so that my midwife can tend to my uterus or my abdomen. And the OB on call was phenomenal. Like she came in and said like, she came in and was basically like, hey, I'm a trained surgeon. I can throw stitches really fast. I'll fix this for you in like 5 minutes, which put me at ease, yeah. Even though looking back, it is really freaky. My blood pressure was very low. I felt very woozy. My hearing was going. I felt on the verge of passing out. Just like sad that like I had dreams of like the golden hour and breastfeeding. Instead, I had to pass my baby off to my husband, and he's getting weighed and measured while like I am not sure what's happening to me.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where like my doula is like, you know, a lifesaver worth like her weight in gold, because my husband is with my baby and a nurse, and they're tending to my baby to like take his scores and all that stuff. And my doula is like holding my hand, like the whole time holding my hand, looking at me. She's like, you're safe, you're okay. I'm right here. And it's just wild. I have learned like a lot about postpartum hemorrhages since then, and they really interest and scare me, because sometimes you can't see one coming, mm-hmm. and they hit some people harder than others. So I was later diagnosed with uterinotomy, which they think is just me, the way my body is. Maybe it's genetic. I don't know. I clearly had a fast labor. I probably have the potential to have another fast labor. And they just kind of shared with me, it's not necessarily uncommon for a uterus to just become exhausted when something goes like, you know, your baby descended and your body labored very quickly, and your uterus is a muscle. So it just maybe didn't have the energy that it needed to like deliver the placenta on its own without like a little bit of support.
Hmm.
And that's like a bummer to hear, because I was like nervous about it happening again, which I can explain in a minute, maybe like how I feel a couple months now after this.
Mm-hmm.
But it was hard, very hard on me for the immediate postpartum period to also know that I bled really heavily out of where I tore, because I felt like I wanted to push better, if that makes sense. And I had to go back to my midwife and even my OB so many times for reassurance of like, if I had pushed differently, would this have not happened? Like, would this have not happened? And everybody was like, no, Elise, that's not how it works. Like, sometimes people have hemorrhages out of nowhere. They in the hospital can weigh how much blood you lose. And they said that I lost almost 3 liters of blood, which is like half of the blood in your body, which it's interesting to me. Yeah. I think the theme of my birth and my experience is that I feel like I now have a very interesting relationship with both hospital birth and home birth. I have confidence in both systems, and I also have thoughts and reservations about both systems, because they're telling me that I like lost half the blood in my body with such confidence, but I never passed out and I never got a blood transfusion. I kind of wish I had gotten a blood transfusion though, because I've never been so anemic in my, I can't even describe the level of like exhaustion. Like I had nothing. I was so anemic. My blood, I got constant blood panels, and I came back like on the verge of being dangerously low in terms of my blood levels. But my OB, who knew me as well and knew my midwives, came to the hospital the day after my birth just to visit and say, hey. He was like, when I looked at your charts, like you could have been in the ICU, but you never even passed out. Like, it was just sort of this medical like mystery where I was searching for answers and begging for answers. And my OB, who like trusts the midwifery model and understands sometimes people's reservations with the hospital system, was kind of just like, Elise, I don't, like, if I had an answer, I'd give you one. Like, I wouldn't withhold an answer from you,
right,
if I had one.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're gonna just have to find a way to eventually be at peace with it. It doesn't have to be today. Like, I understand this makes you anxious. You probably have some medical trauma now, but, this is just something that we couldn't have predicted, and you know, you're safe now. And I don't know if I mentioned this in my email, but the thing that I also grappled with that was very challenging was that I did not want a catheter during labor, but the hospital I was at requires that a catheter be placed if you're having a hemorrhage to drain your bladder. So during them stabilizing my hemorrhage, which was just like such a sad experience to be like, my new baby's in a different room. I'm naked. I just gave birth. I'm sweating. I'm cold. And I'm under fluorescent lights and people are scaring me right now. It was a lot. You absolutely should have a doula there if you're ever going to be in a situation like that. But they placed a catheter and I ended up getting an infection from that catheter.
Oh no.
And so I ended up with a pretty, very severe postpartum infection, where I did have to be readmitted to the hospital.
Oh no.
4 days postpartum. Discovering that was very terrifying, but, my midwives and all of the OBs at my hospital, like, really had my back. They got me readmitted to the postpartum unit so that my baby and husband could stay with me. So it was very sad circumstances and I was very afraid, but it was almost as if we never left the hospital to go home. We stayed with my nurses, my doula, my midwife in that hospital recovery room for a full week.
Wow.
And that was the beginning of my journey as a mom, of like everyone telling me like, you need to get better so that you can take care of this baby. And I was like, I just cannot believe this is all happening to me. Like, I don't know why this is happening to me.
Yeah.
I obviously had a lot of time to process, but you know, my birth story is interesting because I had such a positive, like loved everything that happened until that dang placenta. And then the next 10 days were like the lowest points of my life so far. I processed a lot. I have like good tidbits of advice for other people now. And I don't know what the experience would have been like without some of the negative complications. There's so much I could say about those complications more than I'm saying, but I think I like people to like, if they want to know more details to ask me, I don't want to like trauma dump on people who maybe are currently pregnant, because I definitely feel strongly this does not happen to 99.9% of people.
Yeah.
But the whole experience just gave me so much more confidence because I had overcome a lot. Like the fact that I am happy and enjoying my experience as a new mom and I'm breastfeeding and I have felt healthy and strong is crazy, because I feel like some of the things I went through could have really changed my whole experience.
Yeah. I mean, it all sounds very overwhelming, and I'm glad that you had such a good support system there with your partner and your doula and the staff in the hospital.
If you have any listeners who are like curious, I would be like, or if they've experienced birth trauma, specifically like postpartum infections and being separated from their baby and being readmitted to the hospital, I would be happy to talk to them about it, because, you know, like I feel like I experienced everything, like immediate trauma and medical complication right after giving birth, having to like emotionally walk through getting the birth I wanted, kind of, but like not feeling like I can ultimately say that it was perfect. Mm-hmm. Having to go home as a new mom and deal with, you know, trying to figure out, are these symptoms I'm having postpartum or am I sick? Only to find out like you actually are very sick. Most postpartum women do not have high fevers and tachycardia and like all these other issues, and going back and forth to the ER. Like I think like a tidbit, just a testament to how strong women are, is that like my milk came in for the first time when I was sitting in an ER bed and my husband and baby were in the parking lot, and I figured out how to pump and sent a nurse with a bag of milk out to the parking lot, and like,
wow,
still was determined to still like breastfeed. I wanted to do that instead of exclusively pumping, and I accomplished a lot, and it also would have been okay if I hadn't. It you know, what I went through was significant and it impacted me, but there are so many resources that like really made my experience overall positive that I wish more women had access to. Mm-hmm. So if you had a listener that's like, you know, this happened to me, I don't know what to do, they should definitely reach out, because I definitely feel like I'm even shifting like my career interest to like, how do we work with people that have postpartum trauma that goes beyond maybe like postpartum anxiety or postpartum depression? Because my first thought was like, I don't know where to go. And I had my doula and my midwives, but like, they don't walk with you for like the whole first year of motherhood, you know? Yeah. It's at a certain point they let you go.
Yeah. And I mean, you make such a good point too, that there is like a lot of support prenatally and during the birth. And then after that, it's kind of like, okay, you're on your own. And even for like a typical postpartum, it's difficult. And then having the, everything you went through and the trauma associated with that, it's, we need more resources.
We definitely do. And my personality is like, I would like break down my like midwives and OB's door. I would be like, I want to see you in the office. I want you to do, I want an ultrasound today. I'm worried that my uterus is infected. Like I want blood work. And they're very much like, their philosophy is just, I mean, it's like midwifery care. And then my OB like really cares about like supporting physiologic birth in women and like postpartum patients that are struggling, like, and that's not necessarily common. So I got the FaceTime that I wanted, like with them to reassure me. And I kind of shudder to think of people that have gone through something similar and didn't get that sort of attention or support. You know, my doula was like at my house, my IBCLC, my lactation consultant, was a text away. I mean, I spent a week in the hospital trying to establish breastfeeding, and you know, I'm like, this is so overwhelming. I'm scared. I'm sick. I have a high fever. I'm very, very sick. And I'm trying to nurse a newborn baby. Yeah. This is scary. And like, yeah, so many people looked out for me. When I went to the ER for the first time, my lactation consultant like got donor milk for us in like 2 hours so that my husband could give a bottle in the hospital parking lot. Well, we were just like, I don't know what's going on right now.
Yeah. Wow. So,
yeah, there's good, I had access to good resources, and I think a lot about people who might not have that access.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, I think you're incredible and so strong, but anything else you want to add about that postpartum time or the advice that you might have?
Yeah, I was thinking about this today because, I feel like against all of the odds, I remember there being moments in my postpartum period that felt very peaceful and magical and just like, you know, all the things that anyone would want when they have their new baby at home. And I think about how that could be. And I've made some recent connections as I continue to like process my birth. And my husband and my doula and I spent a lot of time in my prenatal period, like really trying to set up like safeguards and a plan to protect my postpartum period. Mm-hmm. And at the time I wasn't anticipating having a rough postpartum period. So I sort of was like, whatever, like we're just going to have to go with the flow. Mm-hmm. And now I realize, I think that's pretty essential, whether you have the smoothest birth ever and you're just are so blissful, or you have all the medical complications and you're in the hospital separated from your baby. Yeah. My advice to people who are pregnant right now and families who are expecting is to really consider and prioritize like what is going to bring you peace when you're in your postpartum period, because whether you have an easy, wonderful birth or a really difficult one, like there's just so much happening that can make it feel very chaotic in those first couple weeks and those first couple months. And I think it's just so worth your while to know like what is going to bring me peace when I'm feeling overwhelmed, what's going to increase the amount of joy I'm taking out of this period, and what's going to enable me to be present with my baby so I can form positive memories of this time and not just remember the bad stuff.
Yeah.
So for me, I knew, I had some like postpartum hypnobirthing tracks, and I knew like, I want time to stand in the shower, like a hot steamy shower alone. And I want to just be able to listen to the things that uplift me and like listen to uplifting music and allow my doula to like wait on me and my husband to like wait on me. And we prioritized that, whether it meant we had to have someone come watch the baby, or we had to like ask people to send in help for like groceries or cleaning, and like even spending money on my doula, which is something that I know a lot of people also might not have access to, but that is like, you know, I do not regret forsaking spending some of the money on like baby products and like products for myself, and spending it more on like creating space for me to heal. So, yeah, I touched on the doula. I touched on like just, creating like comfortable spaces for me to process my birth and heal, and just like even talk to myself out loud about it. And I spent money also on a trauma counselor. So those are things that, really shaped those first couple weeks. And I think set me down like a right path. So yeah, I kind of got off subject here, but if I were speaking to a family that was like about to give birth, I would say like, you know, I know it's tempting to maybe keep devoting all your time to setting up the nursery or to like be doing, just focusing on your prenatal care. But you also need to carve out some time to come up with a postpartum plan of like, what's going to serve me well? What's going to be a stressor? How am I going to obtain peace for myself? And make sure that you have people that are prepared to support that. Like I've mentioned throughout this conversation, I have an OB and midwives I felt super comfortable with. I had a lactation consultant and a doula who I felt were protective of me. I have my husband who we're on the same page. So if you have someone that's like hindering that, I think it's important to maybe just allow yourself the freedom to not give them too much proximity to your postpartum period, and just make sure that you have the support and access to things that are just going to like make it a joyful time for you. Like I was in the hospital, I was struggling, I was sick, but like my doula was in there with me, my husband was in, and they were doing the things that we had planned. They were like bringing me my healing bone broths. We were like watching movies and listening to music that like made me feel nostalgic and sentimental. Like people were really catering to making sure I got all the contact naps that I wanted and that like I didn't have to do other things. Yeah. I think that's, I keep getting on a tangent here, but I think you can tell what I'm getting at, which is like, just make sure that you have the support in place to make it as positive as it can be, because you don't know what will happen that could be just difficult to process emotionally. So you got to take care of yourself. And, I just think every new parent deserves the opportunity to just experience some of the joy and bliss. So if something's not furthering that, it's okay to just delay that. If it's, you know, like someone wanting to come hold your baby and you just know, like, I emotionally can't handle that today. And it's about me and my baby today, because today I feel well and I feel rested and I want to bond with them. That's what you got to do. I have seen like a, a lot of people that I know who have given birth, like, don't have great connections with their care team, mm-hmm. typically like an OB. Mm-hmm. And this isn't to like bash all OBs, but I think after my experience and knowing that like bad things can happen, but childbirth can still be magical, and it is, and you deserve an opportunity to feel empowered and strong. And like, this was a very happy and significant moment in your life. What I would say to someone who is going through this, or maybe has had a not so great past experience, if you're not connecting with your OB, it's okay to switch providers. I just mm-hmm. think sometimes people need to hear that. Mm-hmm. And I take it for granted because I follow so many accounts on Instagram and know so many doulas that, you know, nobody that I know is like bossed around by someone in the birth space that they're not comfortable with. But I will be out there in the world sometimes talking to people, and I'll hear things of like, my medical team said I have to do this, or so-and-so said I have to do this, or I'm scared to do this, but they said I have to. And I just think there's always someone who needs to hear like, hey, this is about you and your baby. And there's like a million OBs and midwives out there. And if they're not serving you and increasing your excitement for this experience and making you feel comfortable and also allowing you to make informed decisions and like mm-hmm. being thorough, go ahead and get a new provider. Like, even if you're 30 weeks pregnant, just go, you can walk away. And I know that might like scare some people, but I look back on my experience and I couldn't have made it through with the happiness that I have if I didn't feel like my OB and my midwife were in my corner. Mm-hmm. I just had a lot of struggles. I had a lot of questions. I had a tough time being pregnant. I had a tough time being postpartum. And on top of all that, I did not need anyone to make me feel too like ashamed or too inquisitive or too needy. That mm-hmm. is not what a new parent needs. So, it's a really like sacred journey that like a new parent goes on. And so don't invite someone that's not excited about supporting you. That's my takeaway.
I agree so hard with that. I am the type of person too that would like really struggle to change providers or do something or like speak up. And so I think there's a lot of people that could really take that advice and know that, you know, there is somebody out there that will be in your corner and support you, and you need to find them, because your experience, no matter what it's like, will be so much better with the best kind of support and someone who really connects with you.
Absolutely. And that's where I think doulas are so key. I've talked a lot about my OB and my midwife, but doulas sometimes like, I think people don't realize what a resource that can be, because they know the providers in the area. They know the hospitals. They've worked with certain midwives. Mm-hmm. They can get you hooked up with like a great lactation consultant if you can't find one. They can take care of you postpartum if you need that. So I think there's also, and so, like, if you can't change providers for whatever reason, like maybe you need a doula to just walk along with you. And my doula made me feel so proud to be a new mom and like so proud of everything that I did and so encouraged. And so it just, for me, it just made the experience richer. And I'm so glad that I share that now with her. Like, it's special to be able to look at someone and be like, you helped me walk on the path to becoming a new mom and walk through huge obstacles. And now like, you were there with me in my low moments and my high moments. And just like, you know, why not make it as magical of an experience as you can for yourself? That's how I feel. I'm like, treat it like a wedding, like treat yourself, like invite like vendors in who will like make it awesome for you. Make it a big deal. It's great.
Yeah, really. I think that's amazing advice. Treat it like a wedding. Well, thank you so much, Elise, for coming on and sharing your incredible story and all that amazing advice too.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for giving me the chance to share. I love talking about birth. I think it's the coolest thing ever.
Thank you so much, Elise, for coming on and sharing your incredible story, but also for giving us all that advice. Don't forget to follow @birthaddict on Instagram. Check out birthaddict.com for more pictures, and I will see you guys next time.